How do you measure yourself with other golfers?
By height.
It's a very, very special honor.
I'm Paula Creamer, and you're listening to Golf Talk Live.
Well, we're waiting.
Hi, this is Martin Cove, a.k.a. John Kreese from Cobra Kai, and you're listening to Golf Talk Live.
And welcome to another episode of the 19th Hole presented by Golf Talk Live. I am your co-host, Andrew DePew, joined as always by my good collegiate friend and college friend, Christian Nazamis. Christian, I'm trying to figure out what in the world you are doing looking at your camera the way you are.
I was just checking on my good old friend co-host over there, Alan. It looked like he was falling asleep a little bit. I just wanted to make sure he was with us.
Well, you beat me to the punch. Also joining us, our other co-host who looks half asleep. He may be still tired from his long golf trip, Alan DePew. Dad, I don't know if you're just getting old or you're just still tired. What's going on over there?
I think he's still on vacation mode, honestly.
I'm just sitting here enjoying a glass of Jameson.
Yeah, I think he's got a little he might be still on vacation mode.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we always appreciate you guys stopping by. This is our Thursday show, kind of the look-ahead show. Little bit of a different week. We have we've gone from a very lackluster field to a very, well, I'll just say it right now, a very filled and contested golf tournament. So lots to get to. Obviously, we are, coming out of Pebble Beach. We obviously talked about it. Christian, you were not able to join us due to your lady friends. So we were probably happy that you weren't here, so that way you couldn't brag about it.
Hey, I won. I'm not gonna let you guys live that down. My pick won. Not the tournament, but he won out of the three of us.
Your pick placed the highest. Your pick did not win.
No, that's what I said. My pick didn't win, but my pick placed the highest out of the three of us. My pick easily could have won if he decided to make some putts on a Sunday. I'll just throw that one out there.
Well, I mean,
I'm not gonna lie. You've got a true win.
Yep.
At the Tournament of Champions, and now you had a high placement at Pebble. You know, it's like going birdie triple.
Yeah.
That's the way it is with you.
I'm known for that.
Consistency is the name of your game.
Listen, I have played with Christian enough to know that this kid has gone out and legitimately not had a par on a single golf hole till the 16th hole of a round. We've literally witnessed birdies and bogeys as well as doubles and eagles, but no pars for 15 straight golf holes before making
an official par. Pars are overrated, in my opinion. Birdies are where it's at. So I can go birdie, double, and I don't know. Just looks better on a scorecard to me than a par, par, par.
You're just a match play guy. You like to, go birdie, birdie, win two holes. You lose one, you're still up one,
I love match play. You could be making double. Hey, pick the ball up. I'm good to go. Next hole, next tee shot.
Pars are not overrated this week in the land known as Hogan's Alley.
Listen.
No, you're right. Pars are going to be tough to come by.
I got some specialty picks. We're not even going to get into those, though, because I don't want you guys to steal them. Obviously, though, we talked about it, Christian, on the Monday show. Obviously, you were not here, so we want to let you have your opportunity to chime in. Jordan Spieth has been pretty much the talk of the town the last 2 weeks. He's been rolling the rock. He's been hitting phenomenal golf shots. Is he officially back, and is he ready to take on the challenges and try to win? We were even talking on Monday about the PGA Championship, and can he finally take down the career Grand Slam and get back to form? Is he finally back in your mind?
No, he's not. I still think he has a lot to prove. I think it's just two good weeks of solid golf for Jordan, personally. I still think that he has a long way to go to get back to where he once was. I do think Butch is helping him tremendously with his game currently. And I so far, what he has done has been tremendous for his game, but I do think that he has a long way to go still, personally.
Okay. Dad, I know you obviously have your feelings. We've talked about having to roll on the rock and Jordan, that was the name of the game with Jordan when he was so dominant. Do you think that his ball, I know we touched on it briefly, but I forgot to ask this. Do you think his ball striking and actually being able to find a fairway once in a while is leading to him having the success. I mean, when he wasn't, you know, being successful, he was obviously hitting it all over God's green earth, and that's not a way to win a golf tournament.
Well, I think I will reiterate what I said on the Monday show, which is I'm shocked and surprised and pleased all in one that he, I said it was six months to a year to get his game back. And he's come, you know, he's let's say he's rounded second, heading to third at this point. Do I think that he gets it done this week? Nope. not with this caliber of field. But do I think that he should be looking at every tournament as a stepping stone that he's right there? Absolutely. But you do still see the swing flaws. You see the blocks dead right. I know he got away with them on even in the final round. He didn't go low on Sunday. And again, shout out to Daniel Berger, but those blocks, those cuts that he was hitting on and down the back nine, if it's at Kiowa, that's in the ocean, or that's in the deep stuff. I mean, he was able to find it this week, but that's why I don't think he's there. I think he's close, a lot faster than I ever would have thought. And kudos to Gordon.
He's going to Augusta, unlike Ricky Fowler, who's not going to Augusta.
Well, I mean,
at least not yet.
Think the only reason he's and obviously this is the reason, but the only reason he's even going is because he's been a past champion. I mean, I don't think he's near the top of the field in comparison of overall play. Now, has he been playing phenomenally over the last 2 weeks? Absolutely. But the only reason he's there at this point is because of his win.
He's got more confidence on T-Box than Ricky Fowler.
I will go back. I will go back a few shows ago where Christian made the comment that if Jordan goes and even has a top five or top 10 at Augusta, and we both laughed at you, but I actually think the Jordan we've seen for the last two weekends, because he's comfortable at Augusta until he gets to number 12.
Yeah.
True. I think that Jordan could theoretically get near the top 10, top five at Augusta this year.
Well, I think we talked about it on our Augusta show back, you know, when we had the Fall Masters and we talked about Augusta a lot that week and even the week before it. But the thing about Augusta is it's such a short track in comparison to some of these long, big tracks that these guys play that Jordan doesn't have to hit it a mile to be able to be successful. He can play that more conservative, you know, pick your shots, you know, place those shots and do it that way, which has obviously been a lot of you know, the players that have won their success. So I think obviously my biggest takeaway is Jordan's putting has been absolutely perfect the last few weeks. His putting has just been, I mean, it's almost 2015-esque. And it's got me thinking that, you know, if he can figure out his putting stroke, Lord knows that I need to figure out my putting stroke. So maybe some way, somehow – and by our good friends at Perfect Practice, this is a good leeway, by the way. I just want to throw that one in there. That due to our good friends over at Perfect Practice, I hope to be able to find the same thing he's been able to find. I've been working on my putting stroke every single week, every single day, trying to hit those five-footers, the ones that are the most important to make to continue to score well. And it's only because of all their support of the show and because of their support here with me personally, being able to get – you know, a Perfect Practice mat myself to try out. You got to try these out, folks, if you're trying to work on your game during the winter months in the Northeast, or I guess now even in Dallas, Texas, since there's about 15 inches of ice on the ground and you can't really do anything. And this is the greatest way to do it. Use our code GTL15 for 15% off. Again, that's GTL15 for 15% off today. And, you know, I give them my highest regards. And I know we keep saying it, but we got a couple of cool things in the hopper coming with them. And I'm looking forward to officially going live with that here soon. So after that, that was my shameless plug for the night. Dad, we obviously, though, have another product of the month that is going on right
now. Well, we have the product of the month, our February product of the month, which is the high heat golf clubs, and with specifically it's the 257 plus Turf Glider sole. And folks, our good friend and our other co-host who's normally on the road, Tony Leodora, was able to catch up with Steve Trattner of High Heat Let's hear what those two had to talk about.
Well, folks, it's back to product of the month time here on Golf Talk Live. And every month we bring you the newest and latest and greatest. In this particular case, it is the newest and latest improvement in a product known as High Heat, debuted in the golf world a few years ago with a major splash. It started on the driver line, then they moved on to adding fairway woods and hybrids, and they continue tinkering with their product, improving every year. And we've got one of the co-founders with us, Steve Trattner. Steve, welcome back to Golf Talk Live.
Well, Tony, it's always great to be back with you, particularly when you've put us once again, and every year since we started having one of our products being one of your top 10 of the year.
Yeah.
And we're very grateful for your honest and candid observations and encouragement to keep on trying.
Well, it's easy to do. You keep improving, and that's definitely an important thing. Let's go through a little bit of that history. When you debuted with the driver a few years ago, it really had a little bit of a different technological spin. Can you explain that?
Yeah, sure. Well, when we were founded by my co-founder, Dean Knuth, who has dedicated his life to help amateur golf. And as you know, he invented the USGA's course rating and slope system, even when he was in the Navy. And then when he came out, they made him director of handicapping, and he finished the course rating system and the slope system. And I was an outside attorney for United States Golf Association, intellectual property attorney for over 20 years, and that's where Dean and I became really good friends. And after he left, he said that he really had this idea of a driver that would be designed for amateurs and not the pros. And I asked him, what does he mean by that? He said, well, all the major brands design it for pros who want a center of gravity high and close to the face. And he said amateurs need it low and further away from the face. So it took us about a year and a half to finally get it to where he wanted it, through a lot of different trials, to get it 25% deeper and 18% lower. And that way it gets amateurs the ball up high in the air. It also went straighter, as you recall.
That driver debuted, and of course, after that, you came out with fairway woods and hybrids that also had a totally unique technological advancement.
Yes, you're correct. And we had a different center of gravity that was deeper and lower, that made it that way. The clubs got up high in the air. And then when we were going to the foundry and said, okay, this is what I have to do, and they said, well, what do you want? You want titanium or steel face? And we said, well, they said, but, titanium is a lot more expensive than steel. And we go, well, it took us a nanosecond to say, well, we'll take the titanium because we knew you would get a better trampling effect on the toe and heel areas because steel doesn't have the same trampling effect. So. Yeah. We were the first ones that came out with titanium faces for the fairways and hybrids.
And then the third innovation came along, and that was three different trampoline effects across the face, the 257 plus.
Right. And the 257 plus and the three trampoline was received also universal acknowledgement, and Tony, actually, your statement saying it was the best new technology in 25 years for golf was a highlight of our the compliments and the rave reviews we received. And just so your viewers understand, the USGA had a rule, and it's ever since 1988, is that you can only have up to 257 trampoline effect across the face. And as all golfers know, and I'm sure all your viewers know, still, they always lose distance on the outside of the center of the face because the CT, which is the amount of time the ball can stay in the face, it just doesn't do as well because they have low CT values.
Well, if I may, we have to move into the latest technology. But okay. you put trampoline effects on the heel and toe that exceeded 257. And amateur players are actually getting more distance on their miss hits.
Oh, absolutely. Just
so then, with this latest one, and this is what got us into the product of the month, the Turf Glider Sole is the latest improvement, and it's amazing, once again, helping amateurs with miss hits.
Well, yes. The thing is, our customers said, this is great, but can you do something about, I'm always hitting fat shots, always hitting thin shots. And so we said, okay, well, now we need to come up with some kind of sole technology. And this really is fairly, in some ways, it's more magical than anything else because we put a new sole technology. It's unlike any other sole technology. It's not like rails. It's completely different. And what it does, as you know, is that if you hit a fat shot, the sole technology raises the front of the face so it glides right through the turf and hits the ball squarely. And what's really magical about it, and it has been called magical by you and others, is that if you hit a thin shot, it raises that same element, raises the back part of the head, and then it glides right through the turf. And it hits it squarely. So now amateurs do not lose always a considerable distance when hit fat or thin shots, and it gives them no chance to reach the green. And now, you know, our customers are just raving about how many more greens they're reaching or very close to the green when they hit one, and for lower scores.
All right. So, listeners, let's make this perfectly clear. This is a way to eliminate those fat and thin shots with Fairway Woods, the 257 plus with the Turf Glider Sole from High Heat is maybe the best fairway wood for an amateur golfer that has come out in a long, long time. The best way to find out more about them, Steve, the website?
Well, it's highheatgolf.com, highheatgolf.com. It also as you know, has it on our hybrids too. So it works for our fairway woods and our hybrids, and it really is magical. So it's highheatgolf.com.
Don't just take it from me. Take it from Golf Talk Live. We made it our product of the month, the High Heat 257 Plus Fairway Woods and Hybrids with the Turf Glider Sole. Check them out on highheatgolf.com.
And thank you, Tony. Thank you, Steve. And guys, I'm telling you right now, I've swung this club. The ball pops off the face. I mean, it jumps. Maybe that's, Andrew, maybe that's how I get back from hitting that 225 down the middle to make it 230.
You're just going to be truly hitting high heat at that point.
I will be. I'll be bringing
the
high heat.
That's why they said that. I'm figuring out their marketing play right now.
Without question. But I'll tell you, we want to talk about marketing. Let's talk about contests. Because if you
practice.
Huh?
We talk about practice.
If you hop over, folks, to our Instagram page, and you know we have our Instagram page is popular. It's growing every single day, thanks to people that are out there that are listening, that are sharing it with their friends. Folks, if you hop over there right now, we are running a contest to win a High Heat golf club from our good friends at High Heat. And basically just follow the contest rules. You have to follow us, have to like, have to share, add some people. And then of course we're going to throw in one. You got to take a picture with the club. I mean, we got to promote you on social media. So that contest runs till next Thursday. So next Thursday, at the end of next Thursday's show, we will be making that announcement. So it's a short window. Jump on it quick. Instagram, Golf Talk Live. Christian, what say you?
I mean, I got to get my hands on one of these. I mean, geez, if it was going to pop off the club, I mean, geez, we're going to be hopefully out driving Andrew. He's the long ball out of the three of us.
He's exceptionally long.
All right, let's, yeah. now you're just pumping my tires to try to make up for all the shame that you throw at my putting stroke.
Christian, I'm not allowed to. I made a pact I would not bust on his putting anymore. But that would have been the appropriate time for you to insert. Yeah, even with his putting stroke.
I know. I'm getting a little better.
You missed the cue, Christian. You missed the cue.
I apologize. We just busted on him too much.
First, I have to carry the end of the show last week. Now you're missing cues. Unbelievable.
I'm just saying, you know, we busted on Andrew too much for his putting now. So I feel like he deserves a week off. Next week, I'll get him back, though.
Well, I'll tell you who's not taking a week off. 8 out of the top 10 in the world rankings are not taking a week off. They are, I mentioned it already, Hogan's Alley, and a little bit of historical perspective for you gentlemen. The George Thomas Design out there, his crown jewel, Riviera Country Club. Known as Hogan's Alley because Hogan won there in 47 at the then called Los Angeles Open, came back in 48, won again, came back in 48 and won the U.S. Open, also held there at Riviera, and actually his scoring in relation to par at Riviera actually stood the test of time until Tiger took it down at Pebble Beach, and we all know that number. So it's a risk-reward golf course, no more so than number 10, mm-hmm. which I absolutely love number 10.
Number 10 is my favorite golf hole in that entire course. Absolutely phenomenal.
Love number you can 10. Birdie it, you can eagle it, you can quad it, you can do anything you want on that hole. It's yep. a lot of fun.
What I find awesome about that specific hole is like you said, Christian, you can obviously make a wide array of golf, you know, scores on that hole, but there's so many different ways to play it. And you see so many different guys taking different mentalities to it when, depending on where they're at in the tournament. I mean, it's truly a phenomenal golf hole to test your mental state of like, is this worth going for? And if not, you know, what do I got in the bag to make it, you know, worth it, you know, next time kind of thing. So I'm looking forward to number 10. I can't wait to watch all the tee offs on number 10.
Let me ask you a question. How would you play it? And I realize it's all situational. It's all about where you are in the tournament. How would you play? And if you checked our Facebook page, we showed a video today. We shared a video from PGA Tour of players that honestly, I can't remember who it was, who was playing ping pong back and forth across the 10th green because it's camelback and everything flows into the bunkers anyway. How would you play it, Christian?
I'd play consistently every time. First, like, I wouldn't hit driver unless I needed desperately to make a birdie on the hole. But I would not. I mean, I don't see the risk reward of hitting a driver personally, because if you hit it in the greenside bunker, it's tough enough to get up and down as it is. I'd rather flight in a little pitching wedge, sand wedge, gap wedge into that hole and potentially have a 15, 20 footer of birdie. That's how I'd like to play the hole personally.
I agree. I try to hit it up into the neck as much as possible and just to be able to skip it in there and
yeah, you know, you have a better chance, in my opinion, to make birdie.
I'll say this. The only facet of my game that I actually have trust in is my wedge game. So playing to that as much as I try to is the name of the game for me. If I'm looking at it, now granted, these guys are playing it a little bit longer, but, you know, if I'm playing it, I'm probably hitting the, you know, driving iron or three wood and hitting it up there, you know, about 100 yards or just inside 100 yards, hitting a knockdown little wedge in there. And that way I can kind of control the spin, because the green is so small, like Christian, you mentioned, you have to be precise. And the only way to be precise in my mind is having a wedge in my hand. So I think it depends also in my mind, if I'm dry, like when I get to number 10, if I'm starting on one, if I'm driving the ball well, maybe I take a go at it just to try to see if I can't, you know, hit it just right. But again, like I don't see the reward is so minuscule in comparison that it's almost better to, again, take the three wood, take the driving iron, hit that up there and knock a little knockdown wedge in.
If that pins up in the front or front left of that green, yeah, you're taking a rip at it without question, because what's the worst that's going to – you may run it through the back of the – into the back bunker there. I don't see the logic. If the pin's back right, anywhere back of center, lay it back a little bit and chip it and spin it in there.
No question in my mind. I agree 100%. There's no reason to try to even go for it. There's no reward for going for it. In my mind, there's only suffering that could happen from it, because you could drive it into the lip of the bunker and you're really in some deep stuff then. So good little question, though. I like your question.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it before. There's guys that need to make birdie in the back nine, but there's also a lot of guys who are having the lead before who can kind of stumble coming down the stretch. So you don't necessarily need a birdie on that short of a hole, because a par there sometimes is gaining a stroke on the field.
So the guys that will, according to the good folks over at VegasInsider.com, the guys that will not be struggling this week, I got five names for you. Here's the top five odds, folks. If you want to write them down and place your bets, VegasInsider.com. I'm going to stun you all by saying this. DJ is 11 to 2 odds.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
my goodness.
World number one and dominant world number one, top of the range. That's shocking.
Man, crazy, world number isn't it? One, too? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Batting, and here I'm going to make it real easy, because the next three are all 13-1 odds going in before they tee off. We are recording on Wednesday before they tee off tomorrow morning on Thursday. They are world number two, John Rahm; world number three, Justin Thomas; and Rory McIlroy.
I mean,
okay,
I'll take Rory at 13-1. I like those odds; those are pretty solid. That's not my pick, but.
And who do you think sitting at 15-1 odds in the number five spot?
I'd probably go Bryson or Xander.
Xander. Bryson's 16-1. Yep. So VegasInsider.com, there are the odds. If you do partake, shall we say, in putting a little action on the events, that's your latest line, guys and gals that are out there listening. So, you guys agree with him?
1,000%, absolutely.
I mean, it's hard to say against it. It's not any of those guys are none of my picks.
Well, let's go right to your picks then, Andrew.
Okay.
We're going to give you first crack this week.
Okay, that's fine. My first pick is
– by the way, did your guy – where did – let's look back real quick, because Christian wasn't here to partake in the –
yeah, where did your pick last
week finish? Where did your pick finish last week? Not your dark horse. Where did your top pick go last week?
I mean, he had the worst round in a couple of rounds that he's ever had in a professional tournament at Pebble. I mean, you can't expect that. That's, you know, it is what it is. That happens. I mean,
coffee for wellness.
Hey, listen, he needs some coffee for wellness after that week. But I hope I'm not giving the curse at this point. I'm going to start calling it that, because every single time I pick somebody, they play terribly. But my pick, he's a long ball hitter. Great, phenomenal guy, Tony Finau. Easy pick in my mind. I think he plays well on the West Coast. I think he's playing some very solid golf, and he's one of my guys that I got listed. He's my top pick, and then my dark horse we'll get to here in a second after you guys go, so that way I make sure I don't steal that one as well.
Go ahead, Alan. You can go. I'll roll it out this week.
So this week I've taken a new strategy, folks. I actually have, like, you've seen the scene many times in a coach's office where you have your depth chart, and I've got my number one guy, and then I got my number, and I'm they're falling off the board as you guys select. And Tony was on my chart. I'm not going to lie.
It's a phenomenal pick.
It's a phenomenal pick, but we're talking about a golf course where the legends of the game, the Hogan's, Freddie Couples is notorious for having played here exceptionally strong back in the highlight of his career. I'm going real quick with a guy who I think could knock on the door. I don't know if I'm going to go so far as to legend, but I think he's ready to take the next step, Victor Hovland.
I knew you were going to pick that. You and I love Victor. See, Victor was on my short list. I just think he's a great player. He's knocking on the door. I mean, he's so close.
Riviera demands accuracy.
I agree.
As well as
distance. Have a great wedge game too.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm gonna go with a little surprising pick for myself, but it's kind of a dark horse. I don't know, not really dark horse. It's kind of just a guy who I just think is hungry to win, and I'm shocked I'm picking him, but Bryson. I'm going to go Bryson this week. He's taking a few weeks off right now. I've been seeing a lot of stuff on social media about him. You know, obviously long ball is not an issue for him, but I don't know. There's just something speaking to me about Bryson this week. I mean, the Genesis Open is known for a lot of first-time winners. Not saying Bryson's not a first-time winner. I'm talking about the tournament itself. And he does like playing on the West Coast. So I don't know. We'll see what – I'm going with Bryson as my first pick.
Well, 16-1 odds.
Yeah. I'm ready for your dark horses, though.
Let me just confirm here before I officially pick, because I just pulled up
the world rankings as of today. Number 40 is Sergio. So anybody below Sergio in the world rankings, they're all yours. You might want to double check that they're in the field.
That's why I pulled it up. I even pulled up just to confirm. According to this, which is the official world golf rankings, he's currently sitting at a 461st.
Oh, God.
And that is no other than Jimmy Walker.
Jimmy Walker's at 461?
According to official golf rankings website. You can look it up yourself.
I intend to.
I don't even think that goes. I didn't even think he was that far down either,
which is why I was wanting to confirm it, but I clicked on it.
We're not talking the sitcom star from back in the 1970s, Jimmy Walker, are we?
No, and that's why I'm trying to make sure that I'm not just seeing something and I'm you know, a-okay in my mentality state at this point, because I don't know what is going on. I would have never thought that he was that far down. Obviously, you know, he's not had the best of finishes recently. He's had a lot of miscuts. But that's what he's ranking right now. And I think he's, I don't know. I mean, he's obviously been a major champion. He's a phenomenal player. I think he's just got what it takes.
Well, my page only goes down to 300 and I didn't find his name. So Jimmy Walker it is. He's, you know what, Christian, I'll tell you what, I'm willing to give him triple points if he pulls that one off.
That's impressive. I was not expecting. That's like a dark horse.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't even heard that name since he's won the PGA.
Amazing guy. Seriousness. One of the nicest guys out on tour, but I just – that okay. Jimmy Walker.
Listen.
That's impressive.
All I'm saying is I have to change it up, because every single time I make a pick, it does not work out. So I'm just going so far off the board that it can't hurt me. It can only just be like, hey, listen, it happened. Whatever. Move on.
So I'm going to give you three names, because I literally, on my dark horse pick this week, I have not solidified which one I'm going to go with. Do I stick with my horse, Will Zalatoris? This will be 3 weeks in a row. Maybe. He's a maybe. Mm-hmm. Name that keeps shouting. Another one. We just talked about him. Jordan Spieth. But I keep coming back to one name. It just popped out to me when I was
looking at the name. If you pick my dark horse, I'm gonna hop in the car and drive to your house.
Lanto Griffin.
That was mine. Okay. Is that your dark horse?
That's my pick. Yep.
All right. Well, first off, Jordan, I think is knocking on the door. I don't know. Like I said, I mentioned earlier, I don't think he's back fully yet. I hope he can keep contending. Because I think the more times he contends, the more confidence he gets and gathers as far as previous, like next tournaments to come. However, this name's coming up in my head again. This person likes playing on the West Coast, Gary Woodland.
That's a solid pick. It's a good pick.
I was going back and forth between Gary Woodland, a little bit of Matt Kuchar there. I also like a little bit of Jason Kokrak this week. However, though, we didn't mention his name once, who's won here numerous times, I may add. Who I could easily see contending this week, Bubba.
Yeah.
Bubba is a name surprised.
Not to mention the other name that's getting a lot of is the defending champ, Adam Scott, Andrew's guy.
So yep. I had three guys on my list. Here in my notes, I had obviously Jimmy Walker, just because I think he's a phenomenal ball striker. I had Adam Scott for the same reason. And then I did have Bubba for no other reason than I don't know what it is. Like, he's inaccurate all over the planet, 95% of places he plays at, but for some reason, the Genesis and Riviera, he figures out how to hit every single shot like he needs to. So I don't disagree. Those three. I ended up going with Jimmy Walker just because, again, it's so far off the board that I can't be wrong. I can only be right. So,
yeah, I mean, Bubba loves this course too. I mean, he talks openly about this course, about how much he loves it, how much confidence he has here. And he talks about it the same way as Augusta when he goes to Augusta again. Yeah. So,
but obviously those are our picks, ladies and gentlemen. Obviously, you guys and girls and anyone who is following / listening, if you do like to partake in the betting of money towards sports, you know, championships or tournaments, those are our picks. We don't know how well they're going to be. We don't know if we're going to even be close. But those are who we are taking. Our board is
I will say this. If anybody wants to reach out and offer their opinion – I love good dialogue. That's what the 19th hole is all about.
Yeah.
It's kicking back, having a beverage, talking smack. Yeah. Talking smack. If you want to talk some smack and say, hey, Christian, your picks are horrific, usually. And every once in a while they come through. Folks, feel free to write us. We'll share that.
I love it.
If somebody else wants to call in, because I vowed I would not, and say, Andrew, I can't wait to see the video of your putting stroke, because it's got to be that bad. I'm ready to hear that as well.
You didn't have to go there.
No, he did. That was awesome.
Broke your promise. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, if you do like to partake,
want to have one last debate, though.
Oh, great.
I'm already moving on. I want the one last topic here. Okay. One last topic. Big debate, big conversation about the rollback equipment and everything else this week. What say you guys? The forming of committees to analyze and what have you. Rory in particular, I love Rory. He's so straightforward.
Oh yeah, so Rory's a bad. This
is just senseless.
I think this is really quick and simple. The guys that are long, if you roll it back, are just going to be long at a shorter distance. It's all it's going to be. The guys that are where they're at, like, they're not going to magically flip flop in place. Like, you know. Perfect example, Kevin Kisner. He's not going to start hitting the ball 400 yards because they decided to roll the ball back and Bryson's going to suddenly hit the ball 300 yards. Like, it's just going to be that difference at a shorter length. I don't think this is, to be honest, it makes the game more interesting. It makes the game actually fun to watch for the not avid golfer. The guys and girls that are just taking up the game, you know, those are the ones that actually want to watch and be entertained. And yeah, pars are great here and there, but people want to see birdies. People want to see eagles. People want to see hole-in-ones. That's entertaining. So I don't know why you would ever even consider this. This is just insanity in my opinion, because it's just going to further your distance from what the average golfer is looking for, which is to be entertained when they watch the game of golf.
Well, I think what it is, I mean, obviously integrity of the game. We all know the folks in Far Hills wanted to have about they are the front line of integrity of the game. But I really think there's another underlying reason and rationale here. It's the classic venues of historical golf becoming obsolete. And maybe that's why you see, you know, I didn't even share this with you on Monday. One of the things I learned is being spoken about in the Pinehurst area was the reason that they decided to set up they're setting up a testing area of the USGA down there, and they're adding it to a rotation number two. And one of the reasons they're doing that is field studies for length and distance of the game and so forth. So that was a rumor around Southern Pines when I was there this past week. So just wanted to get your thoughts while we were all congregated.
Well, I mean, I appreciate it. I think we all are in agreement that this is senseless, but that's why we have these topics and that's why we have these discussions. If you have a difference of opinion and you're listening, obviously, as we just said, even just a couple of seconds ago, please share it with us. We want to have you debate. We always are open to the debate of which one's the best way to go. And we obviously can see both sides for obviously different reasons. But as we are closing down the 18th hole here, obviously we're nearing the end of another week. We're looking forward to the Genesis tournament this weekend. Dad, what is your closing thoughts for the week? And let's hear them.
One, I need the beverage cart.
Okay. Two, always important.
Two is this Saturday, I will be at visiting our good friends at Play Around Golf. We will actually be back. We published it that it is at Ardmore, but in fact, Play Around Golf at Malvern. Play Around Golf at Malvern. That's where we will be this coming Saturday, February the 20th, for the next leg of the Golf Talk Live Winter Tournament Series, which if you finish in the top three, folks, you qualify for the Tournament of Champions on March 20th, and you want to be there because the prize vault opens and there's some good stuff. Poop emoji. Good stuff.
I don't ever think that I could have begun to see your age and just how you talk more than that last 30 seconds.
That was a curveball right there. I was not expecting that.
I thought that you were still the young, cool, hip dad, and clearly you are.
Oh,
You are starting to be out of touch with how things are said these days. With I don't know. Anyway, Christian, closing thoughts for the week as we look ahead.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this week. Obviously, with the tournament starting tomorrow, I think it's going to be a really fun tournament to watch. I think it's going to be a shootout. I could even see it going to a playoff this week because of how many good caliber players there are. But overall, obviously, guys, continue to follow us on all social media accounts. We have some great content coming for you guys here in 2021. You know, make sure to obviously, you know, continue to subscribe to our channel here. I mean, again, we appreciate all your guys' feedback. We appreciate all you guys' support. Make sure, again, to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Make sure to go check out some nice merch that we dropped a few months ago. And hopefully you guys can continue with us on this journey. Have a great week, and I'll see you guys on our next show.
My closing thoughts for the week are hopefully my pick of Jimmy Walker comes through. I will look like an absolute genius. Jimmy, if you are listening to this, I did not try to curse you with my pick. I apologize if I do. But, you know, those are the breaks. Unfortunately, Andrew's been come the curse of the three of us. So other than that, though, guys, obviously appreciate all of the support and love that we are getting on social media right now. As Dad, as you did mention, we are getting a big time support on our Instagram. Our Instagram is now just over 5,600 and climbing each and every single day. So we greatly appreciate all the love and support over there. We are also on Facebook and Twitter. Please give us a stop by and give us a follow. If you are looking for the best, you know, entertainment, we try to give as best information and entertainment value as we possibly can for you guys. Make sure to also, as I always say every single week, if you guys are new to the show, enjoy the content. Tell a friend, tell a family member, tell a fellow golfer, whoever it is that you think might be interested in a podcast like this. We're always looking for the newest and you know, best fan that we can possibly get. So with that, I say look forward to you guys talking to you guys on Sunday as we record for our Monday show and wrap up the weekend. And we will see you next time. Dad, close us out.
Christian, hit it long and straight because
it beats short and crooked.
When it comes to great golf in Philadelphia's western suburbs, the conversation always turns to Bella Vista Golf Course. This must-play facility, designed by Jim Blaukovich, is known for its great layout and even greater conditions. It's also home to La Masseria, an elegant facility for weddings, banquets, and private parties. For more information, go to bellavistagc.com. And don't forget their sister courses, Mainland Golf Course in Harleysville and Morgan Hill in Easton.